Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Morning, Neil.
Good morning.
I'm Kristen, and today we are hopefully getting to the continuation of our conversation that we left off a week ago, the process of psychic development, and of course, taking your calls for psychic readings. We do have several people in the queue right now, but there's a couple of people who have their numbers masked, so we are not going to take those calls unless you call back and unmask your number, so you can do that. What is it? Sorry, you too.
I'm not sure, but
so,
they can do that or they can just sit and listen.
Yeah, so they have their hands raised, these two blocked callers. So blocked callers, if you'd like a reading, call back with your number unmasked. And we do invite our callers and our listeners to follow us on Blog Talk Radio right here. Just click on that follow button. Also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We would love that. Okay, let's take 925, please. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Teresa from California.
Hi, Teresa.
I had a question. Hi. I had a question, and I wonder if you could help me. I was wondering, I had reached out to my old boss asking if it was possible to come back into my old position where I'm at now. They're having financial problems, and I don't want to be stuck without work.
Okay. What's your birthday, Teresa?
February 1st.
And the year?
58.
Okay. Have we spoken with you before? I'm trying to remember.
No.
Yeah. 2, 3, because you probably would have given us your year. You would have known we would have wanted that. 3, 13. Oh. You're 26, 8. Let's get to our question. We can do her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Teresa, why were you left? Why did you leave the first time?
It was just a mess. And I had things just thrown on me. They apologized when I decided to leave and wanted me to stay. But at that time, then I got another offer to work from home. Which is what I'm doing now. But now I'm finding that this company is robbing Peter to pay Paul. So
it's doing bad financially and not doing exactly ethical.
Well, and you want to go back and work for them?
And I'm sorry?
And you want to go back and work for this company?
No, for the company that I left to come here.
So you left. So you're
right.
With a company,
so we're getting it straight here. Oh,
so you're with a company that is not really doing well financially and not obviously doing things that are
correct.
Great.
Yeah, but what I want to know is why did you leave
the first
company that you want to go back to?
Things just were not working out. They had things that were actually when I started there, I was set up for failure. And they realized that after. They realized that they had set me up for failure, and that the way that they were trying to get things to work just weren't going to work. And they saw my potential and saw what I could do and know that I have a lot of experience, but it was just extremely frustrating at that point.
Well, and now you would like to go back to work for them?
Yes, because I do believe that they would, I was told that they did make changes. They did listen to me on my way out of the things that needed to change. And one of my coworkers had reached out to me after I left and explained to me that they said that they were really, really sorry that I had left and that they were making changes. They knew that they needed to make these changes, and I guess this is the push of what they needed. And she said, I really have a really, really feel
okay.
strongly that if you would want to come back, they would take you
right.
back.
Okay. So for the brevity of our readings, we can't go – you're answering all the questions, but we can't go into too much more detail now from this point on. But let me ask you something. What type of work is this?
I was working for a distributor.
Okay. So what's going on with somewhere between the area
– you're working for a distributor, but what exactly was your position?
I was in customer service, but I was setting up the trucks.
Okay.
Okay. So where were you working that was either a period of 4 to 5 years or 7 to 8 years?
I was working for a really big grocery chain that got bought out.
And how long were you there?
11 years.
Oh, no. Okay. But I want to know, where were you working where at your length of employment was anywhere from 4 to 5 years or 7 to 8 years? Anything fit that category?
Yes. And that was with the long grocery chain. What it was is I worked for a food broker and I worked for them for about 8 years, but it was like free labor for the grocery chain. And I was always in-house with the grocery chain for a total of 11 years. But with that company, the broker that I was employed with was
okay.
that time.
So what's happening in your work employment record? It's pretty clear face value that you work in areas where ultimately, and this might be common to just the work field, where altercations happen, things change, things break down, and you end up leaving. So there's a sort of long-term duration, but then the attitude of that gets somewhat broken up. Now, that might even spread over into your personal life experiences away from employment, but we won't get into that. But there might be something that is parallel to your experience in the work field. In coming back, when we look at areas of coming back to something that we originally worked with, your energy field, you're an eight. So now that I think about it, the eight does signify a length of time. So,
right,
you know,
the eight years
that
she mentioned.
You have an eight at the end of your year zone. So I guess what I'm determining is this. I think you're going to be reemployed there. Now, I'm
okay.
thinking that with a psychic attitude. It's not a prediction. It's a thought on a psychic level. But the thought it's better than just thinking on a typical human level, but it's psychic. It's intuitive. So I think you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's an area of 3 years that you're going to be pertaining to. You're 59 now, so actually you could work there until you're 60, until you're 62, which is 56. Well, 64 would be another
64.
Multiple of 8, but 26 is not divisible by 8. 24 is, so 62 would make sense. So there's a possibility you could be there employed, working until the age of 62 there. Now, the other thing that I will say before we move on to the next caller, because we can't complete the whole reading on a radio show, is that the month of October is going to be very significant to you. The month of October this year will be significant to you. Incidentally, before we part, does the month of October ring a bell for you in anywhere in your personal life?
No.
Nobody born in that month. No event that ever took place in that month.
No, nothing.
Then it's something forthcoming.
I think I started a job at one point in October years ago.
Yeah, that might be.
Well, maybe we don't have time to go into the details, but I will say that that this October it seems like a good month. So maybe the attitude of going back to work is in the midst of September, and October will be the full month. And look for the name Mary, M-A-R-Y.
Okay.
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 Teresa.
So I won't hear anything until then?
No. That's not what is being expressed here. October is a possibility that there will be a vibration there on some level, something important, but you may very well hear prior
well,
to
Well, more
that,
specifically,
October.
October will be the first full month of your employment. In other words, if you are employed there, it won't be at the beginning of September. It will be somewhere in the midst of September, and October will be representative of the first full month.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Teresa, thanks. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation, and 480 is our next caller. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Pamela. This is Pam.
Pamela?
Yes.
Can you speak up, Pamela? It's difficult to hear you.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better. Where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Okay. Arizona. And what's your birthday, Pamela?
March 11th,
1973. 3/11/1973. Okay. What brings you to the show?
I recently also lost, I lost a job, but I'm okay with that. We're okay right now, but I'm writing a book, and this book has been something that I've wanted to do for a long, long time. And, it's a nonfiction book. I'm a nurse. It's about cancer, but not really. It's about looking at it differently and just instead of saying I have cancer, saying I was diagnosed with cancer or I'm fighting cancer, but I'm very passionate because I'm an oncology nurse. And I was wondering if you could give me any insight on if this book will be a success or when will it be done or just anything about the book.
What are your plans with the book in terms of promoting it? Are you planning on trying to get it sold traditionally? Or are you trying to self-publish?
No, I'm not going to self-publish. I think I want to send it into publishing companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like it's going to be a big success because it's something that people now with the healthcare system, they like to take control of their own health because they feel like they're slipping through the cracks. And this is something patients and caregivers can do to help their own fight with cancer. And when I, partake this on my patients, they always, yes, you're right, da-da-da-da-da. But I want to do it on a bigger scale. That's always been my wish. And now that I lost my job, I feel like it's almost an opportunity to do that. But I may be wrong.
And where are you in the process of writing the book?
I have everything that I want to say is in my head because I've said it every day at work to different people in different forms. But I'm just now starting to get it on paper.
You're just now.
But I'm a fast writer.
I do have a projected end date for the book.
No later than I will be done writing it within 2 to 3 months.
Wow, that's fast. That is fast.
Well, I have nothing else to do.
You have nothing else to do.
Well, there's a couple of ways to approach this question and this request on your part, Pamela. One is that, yes, people would love to have the access and the capability of sitting down with a nurse and just talking. about sickness, more or less a doctor.
Right.
And sometimes nurses know more than doctors, with all due respect to doctors. If your book, based on experience, is also the ideas behind cancer and the thought forms that can transform disease into something that is more on a healing basis, based upon a foundation of medical knowledge, both in terms of the attitude of cancer, the cell formation or deformation of cancer, how it's acquired, how to cope with it, how to avoid it, how to treat it, how to work with it on a body, mind, soul level. If you have access, if this is what's resonating with you in terms of what I'm stating to you, because it sounds
100%.
Like it is, well, then your approach is going to have to take on a couple of things. Number one, it's going to need an innovative title. It's going to need a format, an organization that you might want to have a qualified editor help you with before you submit it to a legitimate publisher. And you're going to have to put it in such a format that, that it's a deal you can't refuse. Because this is a topic that is with us. You're a nurse. You have an energy of five in your karmic side, 311. That's the fifth chakra.
Which is the throat chakra. It's communication.
Your master number is seven, which is about spirituality and helping the world and being of public service. So here's the answer. Yes, it's going to be published. But you've got it. You're working on two levels. You're working on an attitude that your soul or your spirit, your higher mind is saying, I got to do this. I want to do this. This is one part of my mission. You're also working on a practical level of earthly karma, which you have to work through. And you've had your own, you know, darkening experiences growing up, trials, tribulations, disappointments. I'm sure of it because your code suggests it. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to treat your transcendent mind and your karmic experiences in an area as you would cancer of the body and healthy body. You're going to have to learn to work those two elements together just as you would going head on with cancer or the prevention of cancer. So because I think that,
saying,
that cancer,
like,
go ahead.
So similar to like diabetes. Where I mean, I want to touch on how emotions definitely, you know, predisposition people to cancer, guilt, anger, you know, grief is a huge one. But
we don't have a lot of time, Pamela. Feelings and thoughts up with case studies, evidence, do a lot of research, have an index, have a good table of contents, a good formation, but have a good index so that that it just doesn't become a new age book. That's fine that it has a philosophical slash medical presentation, but you want to demonstrate to a legitimate, because it is dealing with medicine still. It's body, mind, soul, and medicine. You want to back it up with some facts.
Science.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. The title is It's Not My Cancer.
Wait, we can't hear you. What's the
don't
title?
Say the
yeah,
title
I was
going to
say, don't
point,
say the title.
Don't, no.
Yeah,
don't,
okay, never mind.
Copyright it before you say a title.
Okay.
You can email us. You can email us.
Yeah, you can email
title,
us.
But don't say it on the
email us here or on our Facebook. But, I was going to say that. I didn't hear her the first time, but I was like, you know, a little bit. Because you never know. Once you put that out there, if someone is unscrupulous and takes it. But that's, I mean, you know, good for you that you're doing this, Pamela, because it's a service.
I'm so excited. I have been wanting to do this for so long.
Well, then, it's a legitimate step-by-step process. I think it's probably going to take longer than
two, three months.
But that's a good way to start the ball rolling.
Neil has written, how many books have you written? 10?
About 10.
10, and we're currently working on a nonfiction book together. And we've been working on it for three years. We have like 1,000 pages of notes and typewritten. And, you know, it's going to be a very long project. So sometimes, you know, the projection of a quick, I think we thought we're going to get it done faster. But I mean, when it's a dense topic, and it sounds like yours is, it mm-hmm. does require a little bit more investment of time. And you want to make sure you do it right before you send it to a publisher.
I mean, you know, unless you're trying to write a kind of short-formed nonfiction book that is based on a premise of an idea. Like the myth of Sisyphus or something, you know, you want to put a philosophy behind it. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with writing a 125 page book, but it all depends. You got to really think this through, Pamela, and decide the scope, the general scope of the book and what you want to put into that, and how expansive or comprehensive you need it to be, or if it just needs to be sort of like a Tristes on cancer. And you're trying to, you know, write it as a kind of philosophical medical viewpoint. But, it, you know, think it through.
Okay, Pamela, we wish you best.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye. Okay, we have another private caller that's blocked their a blocked caller. So if you would call back and unmask your number, blocked caller, then we will take your call. Okay, 503 is our next. Hi, who's this? Caller, are you there? 503 area code.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, my good afternoon, good morning. My name's Monica, and I have a question, please.
What's your name, please?
Monica.
Monica?
Yes.
Hi, Monica.
Yes, thank you. Okay, my just a really quick question. I just like to know if there's just some neighbors that are in front of me, and we're just wondering when most likely would they be departing the property, like leaving the property.
So you have neighbors in front of you, and how long have they lived there? What's the situation? Why? What makes you think they're going to move at all?
Well, they've been there for 15 months, either 15 or 14, and the police keeps going over there. I would say, a lot, like over 30 times. I've seen at least 30 times.
She says the police have gone over there 30 times. Police. So are they doing noise, or is there like
there's a young
legal
lady,
activity?
There's a young lady who... is like sometimes she has no clothing, she stands in front of the street, or she walks with bra underwear.
Say that again. Can you repeat that, Monica? It's hard to hear you.
There's a young lady. She drives a green vehicle, and she at times she's with underwear and bra outside, and also asking for sexual favors to man.
Oh wow. And what about they're renting, I'm assuming, correct?
They're renting. Yes.
So what about the landlord?
The landlord has been trying to kick them out, and they become very bully, very aggressive. They said they're not leaving. They're not moving. She's very aggressive. She has gone to the landlord like every day basically with bra and underwear, so I don't think that he's helping the situation, or he don't care, or there's something going on between them, but
you think that there's a relationship maybe with the landlord and he's threatening to kick them out, but there's something else going on behind the scenes, is that what you're stating?
Yeah, maybe because he evicts people. He has, like, called sheriff, constable, ranger, Texas Rangers, and he kicks people out, and he hasn't done none of that to them. And he's also missing a lot of equipment, like stolen equipment, like farming equipment.
Oh, boy. Monica, we want to get your birthday, too. I forgot to get that from you, please.
Thank you for listening. My birthday is 11-3-77.
377. Okay, she's a 34-7. Okay. Well, it sounds like a sticky situation. I mean, you would think that because they're so unruly that the landlord would make a move to actually evict them and make sure they forcibly leave the property with a sheriff.
Exactly.
How many people are living in the home?
Four.
You know, there's two levels here to consider, Monica. One is the earthly level that, well, you've got some bad neighbors, and that's unfortunate. And perhaps if there's enough illegal activity going on, the police can arrest them, put them in jail or whatever, and make life very hard. I don't know. There's four people all together. One female seems to be sort of, walking around in her underwear and bra and asking for sexual favors. What about the other three occupants?
There's two guys. The boyfriend. The boyfriend knows that the girl seduces the landlord because I've heard them arguing, and then the other couple is a young girl too, and she also. Sometimes, I don't know how much time she's done it. She's in underwear and bra. And then the Hispanic guy say that the owner's disabled. They're not going to listen to him.
Well, you know, the thing you can do, not getting yourself into any bodily harm or anything, is take photographs of her and file a complaint with the city or with the police department. Show them the evidence. And maybe you can force an eviction. That's one thing that you can do. Have you taken any photographs of her walking around like this?
She mostly does in the night, and I tried and it didn't come out on the phone camera.
Well, you can do it on your iPhone, or you can do a recording. when she's walking around like that, you can alert the police. You can state around the time she usually goes out if there's anything. Anyways, there's things you can do on an earthly level that might help to change this. How does their presence personally affect you? I mean, she's walking around. This is not great. But how does she personally affect your personal environment?
She has gone to a landlord and may complain that I go to her home, and I don't even talked with them. I don't even communicate.
I understand that you've tried to, witness what they're doing, but how do they otherwise affect your personal space?
Quick question. They have not come to me, I guess, because...
I mean, Monica? Monica, are they loud? Are they noisy? Do they throw things across the fence?
They did one time. I saw them. They threw tree branches, and I don't know about the rest.
Are they harassing you at all? Or are they harassing you, or
They only harassed me one time. That was about 8 months ago, and I didn't.
Well, it's difficult because if she's a prostitute, the police can move in.
But it's up to the landlord to evict. I mean,
you can contact the landlord yourself and have a decent, coherent communication with this person and say, listen, this is what's going on there. And it's a blur on the neighborhood. And I want you to be alert to this. And, that might help out if the landlord has any sense of integrity. Otherwise, we're looking at a cosmic or a psyche level of what's going on, which indicates something else about your connection to the neighborhood and your connection to tribal energy, meaning that neighbors are sometimes derived from old tribes and they move around us because the tribe from the past life is all broken up, but sometimes members come back again and live close in proximity to one another. So that would be the other element. The thing is, I'm going to ask you something real quickly because we have other callers. Who, in your experience, since you've been on this planet, has had three dogs?
Me.
Okay.
You.
That's it.
All at one time or in succession?
Different times.
And you've had a total of three, or you've had up more than three, but three included?
I have more than three.
So, but you're the one with the you're the one with at least who's had three dogs. Okay. Let me ask you something else, Monica. Has your mother, don't worry about this. I'm not trying to scare you or anything. So don't worry about what I'm asking you, but has your mother gone, has your mother either crossed over or gone through any kind of health issue?
My birth mother, hates my guts. Since I was a baby, she was, I have not spoken with her for 8 years. And then I have an older parent who is like a mother to me. She raised
okay.
me when I was 6 days old.
Are there any health problems with the mother figure?
Not really. She's stable right now. She's 90.
Okay, so your biological mother is the one with the problems.
Yes, yeah, she had two heart surgery.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
That's the one I'm really, that's the one I'm, I know you don't equate her as being your heartfelt mother, but she's your biological mother, and that's who I was connecting to. And you've had some problems with her, and she's also had some health issues. And as you said, she hates your guts or whatever. Okay, so what you've come into the planet with, Monica, is some karma around the attitude of female energy. You know, I mean, that's not a terribly bad thing, but it helps to identify some of the root systems of your own energy field. Why do I get a young girl? Are you an aunt to a? Do you have a niece or do you have a daughter?
No children, no niece.
Why do I get a young child around you? Do you have a sibling? Nothing.
I have a young sister. She's 27, and another one who's 33. But we don't communicate.
Yeah.
They live with my birth mother. I don't have
those
no
are
kids
those are too old. I think unless you're picking up.
Do you live near a school?
The fact that you have a younger sister.
No.
Well, I'm getting a young little girl around you.
There's no children in the house that you're complaining about, are there?
No children.
I don't know, Monica. I'm getting a vibe of a young girl around you, and I don't know. When did your mother leave? How old were you when your mother left your life?
I was 6 days, and then I saw her in 2010. That was the last time that I saw her.
But how old were you?
When you were you raised with by your mother?
I was raised by my birth mother raised me for 6 years, and then
we didn't hear her properly.
Okay.
So you were 6 years old.
So the little girl that I'm seeing is you at 6 years old. In the reading, Monica, I was seeing a little girl. I couldn't figure it out. The little girl I'm seeing is actually you when you were six, and your mother actually left.
Wow.
See, at that point, from that point till this point, and you are what, 40?
39.
You're going to be 40. From that point to this point is what I'm looking at in terms of your journey.
She's 40. You're 40, Monica. 1977?
Oh, yeah, 40.
Yeah.
You're 40.
No, not until November.
73.
She's
Did
born
you say,
77.
Right.
November 3rd, 1977.
She's born in July. We're in August.
Scorpio.
Oh, she's born in July?
Are you born in July or November?
I'm a Scorpio. November.
Oh, November. I heard wrong. Then
no,
it's my fault.
No,
my fault.
November.
My fault.
So, Monica.
I have then a completely wrong
Monica,
master number.
You
no wonder.
She's a 29-11 too.
I wrote down 11. I was like, why did I write down 11?
Yeah.
And then because I thought she was 34-7. So, okay, now I know why I wrote down 11.
So some of these problems are rooted to a karma past life. Because you're just not born and you have a bad mother or a mother that's not, you know, healthy. That comes from karma. That comes from a history, a root system involved in the souls of past lives. So you've come in with this dilemma. Now, luckily, you had somebody that stepped in and took care of you and loved you, it seems. and but you're still faced with this problem of unhealthy kind of female figures around you.
Well, and it's interesting too, because she's born on the third day, right, of November, and three signifies female energy, and that's on the karmic side of the birth date. So that, I mean, it can be interpreted that way in her case, at least.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a probably, you could look at this energetically and try to decide how to alter the energy. And maybe by doing so, you might be able to influence the physicality of your situation. But I would suggest, for practical purposes, if you're saying, are they going to move out soon? I just want to know that. I know this, you asked for a simple question. But if you're waiting to see if they're going to move out, I don't think you're going to have much. I don't see that they're automatically going to move out. This is a problem. People like this are kind of, a lot of times they aren't stable. They don't stay in a place long anyways. It's ultimately their behaviors knock them out of the system and they move on. So you have that premise behind you. But psychically, we don't see that they're going to automatically just leave. You may have to, you know, if the landlord is if they're paying their money and the landlord doesn't really care what she does, you're going to have to present some kind of police action against the family that might escalate the situation to where they just leave. Got to be careful, you know, you don't want any retaliation on their part, but I don't see this as automatically just changing overnight. This family seems to, I don't know, somehow you're going to have to get between the landlord and the tenants, and maybe behind you be backed up by the police and just get them out. And if the police keeps, you can call the police as much as you want, as long as you have a legitimate reason. But you have to prove that, you know, she's walking around like this and disturbing the neighborhood and walking around, I don't know, in bra and underpants. I don't know if that's necessarily against the law, because it could look like a bikini. But if she's soliciting.
Yes.
Then you call the police and get the prostitution ring to investigate her. What state are you in?
Texas.
Well, I don't know if, you know, how Texas regards laws about the prostitution and, you know.
Yeah, but
like
arresting
that,
her for prostitution isn't going to get her evicted unless somehow she stops paying the rent or something, because she's.
It could break up the family.
You know, that would be maybe, you know, an indirect way that it would start to move in that direction.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Monica, hopefully that helped you. And sorry for hearing your birth date wrong. I'm having a hard time today hearing. We've got some noise outside. So good luck. Let us know how things transpire, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting because Pamela, our previous caller, was born on 3/11, and Monica is born on 11/3, and their years actually are interchangeable.
Yeah.
So it's funny when that happens. They're not only interchangeable, but they align. 73 and 77 actually align and are interchangeable. So sometimes people group together in a tribal energy.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, 562. Who's this? Are you there, caller?
Hi, I'm just listening to the show.
I'm sorry?
I'm just listening to the show.
Okay, all right. Okay, so we're out of callers. We have several people drop.
Okay.
But that's okay. We're going to continue talking about psychic development. And
yeah.
Let's do that.
Well, for those who may be in the archives about how developing psychic.
Yeah, we've been switching our order here. I mean, we took callers first, so we're doing the conversation at the last part of the show, which is fine.
Yeah, I guess there's, you know, sometimes the psychic elements come to us and we really don't have any control over it, and we just experience, we kind of experience the other side. It comes to us. We have encounters with ghosts or spirits, or we start to have hunches that come true. We feel that maybe somebody on the other side is trying to reach us. So sometimes it being, you don't develop your psychic development as much as you experience the impact of psychic phenomena. And then you just either, what, promote it or you just sort of experience it. Developing psychic talents is a whole different approach. You're not really waiting for something to happen, or you're not some innocent bystander or some looky-loo that just happens to be interested in a psychic phenomenon and you watch it for a while. Developing your psychic mind and your third eye is a commitment. It's a commitment that follows through with integrity, ethics, diligent research. The responsibility mode is extremely high, and the commitment involves that you become available. You're asking the astral world to come into your life and connect to physicality. Well, the astral world is fathomless.
It's fathomless. It's not phantom. Actually, there are a lot of phantoms. But it's fathomless.
F-A-T-H-O-M.
So it's endless.
Just to show we can't even know of what I speak.
You know of what you speak. It's just a tongue problem.
Yeah, I've had a tongue problem all my life.
That's okay.
There's no limit. If we think that we can, you know, if we take on the responsibilities of like being a therapist or a healer, or a psychologist, or even a nurse on the physical level, God knows how much responsibility there is.
And study, and, you know, years and years of training and study.
Yeah. When you get into the attitude of the psychic eye, and you're asking for psychic phenomena to enter into your realm, now you've got several things. I'm always amused by that scene in Ghost, when Whoopi Goldberg is sitting, when she really starts to connect to ghosts and spirits, and she's sitting in her room and there's like 100 of them all trying to talk to her and she's going crazy. It's comical, but it's also true. John Edwards often talks about, whether you believe in him or not, but John Edwards, the psychic, also talks about being held hostage by ghosts and spirits and angels and whatnot until certain things come in. When you see psychics address large groups of people, obviously, if they're authentic and they're real, they're bombarded with stuff. So there's always, you're really opening yourself up to a lot. So to develop your psychic skills on that level is a lifetime of work. Now, if you're trying to just to do it for yourself, and you're not really concerned about giving readings, but you just want to develop your own psychic skills and sort of temper them to a specific task or a specific attitude of life, that's different.
Yeah, it's totally different. Because really, if you're getting into psychic energy to really develop the third eye and help others, you have to put the work in that it requires. I mean, it's not jumping from, you know, having intuitive hits and a dream or two and then, you know, conducting readings, which is too often the case, in my opinion, because then, you know, it's, you have the karma of misleading people if you do that type of thing, because you're not really qualified to be, you know, it's like putting a stethoscope around your neck and claiming that you're a doctor without having gone to medical school and done residency, et cetera, et cetera. It's really important, if you're going to take on the responsibility of being psychic, to train heavily.
Yeah. And it, you know, when you're dealing with, if you're going to be a psychic for others, you have to let go of the self, S-E-L-F. Those psychics that do not let go of the self, they are corrupt. They say, oh, give me $1,000, I'll wash it for you. And they come up with all kinds of crazy things. And they're self-promoting more than other promoting.
But even to a lesser extent, I mean, we're talking about people that are truly charlatans when we're talking about people that are, you know, cleaning the money and saying, oh, I can get rid of this curse for $5,000. That's really... you know, that's really corrupt. But there are others that may be well-intentioned to a certain degree, but, you know, want the power and glory of being able to guide other people in their lives. And that's still an ego issue.
when
they're not qualified.
It's hard to extract the ego. The ego's bound to be in the system because it's a form of expression, and it's not always a villain in the piece. But when you're dealing with developing your psychic abilities on a other oriented energy, yourself isn't really what matters. You're there as an instrument of knowledge and guidance and information. Now, if you're doing it for yourself, if you're just saying, well, I don't want to give readings or anything, I just want to become more psychic for my own life, then you're on a path of self-discovery. And what this path means is that you are getting not in touch so much with your body, you're getting in touch with your soul. And that's a whole different attitude, because the soul's within the body, and the soul has information actually to the passage of past lives and the attitude of astral realms, where the soul leaves the body, the astral body leaves the body, and then comes back, and there's all kinds of information and whatnot to be delivered. And then there is an idea, the idea is, why do you want to develop this skill? What is the ultimate purpose? Is it to release you of karma? Is it to help you transcend? Is it to help you understand what's going on in your world so that you don't react on an ego-filled basis, a fear or the lack of control, or whatever the cause may be that prompts you to act the way you do? When you get into the idea of developing psychic skills, you're getting into the idea of understanding existence on a soul level.
And I think most of our listeners are going to fall into the latter category of developing their psychic abilities, so they, you know, are able to transcend or enhance their life, which is great, because most people aren't going to be called to dedicate their lives to, you know, doing readings and being of service to people in this capacity.
That's true. And it ultimately, to the depth of the integrity of the search, what it suggests is that most individuals who want to develop their psychic skills are not satisfied with earthly existence. They may take pleasure in the earth. They may appreciate the earth, and they may appreciate certain things that one experiences on the planet, but it's not enough for them.
But there's a deeper need for something that connects the soul and the spirit, which
that's
is
right. So
wonderful.
we're getting into the cosmic journey of the mind, into the attitude that there is something beyond this planet, this earthly walk. And any one individual wants to explore that and try to understand and grasp their connection to it. So it's one thing is about the connection to the absolute other, whether that is God or the astral realm or the idea that there is an existence, an actual existence beyond the physicality of our planet, and that one wants to incorporate that into the physicality of thought, into the brain, then it takes on a certain significance in terms of how that can be done. But part of it is the energy of the thought process, how one establishes their thought on a psychic level,
right?
Which requires a different kind of breathing. Some people might perceive this as being, well, I need to meditate and get into a position of silence and solitude and oneness, and they start to prepare themselves for this element. Others may take on other forms. They may say, well, I want to do tarot cards, or I want to start focusing on things with my third eye. I want to do some palmistry, something like that. There's different pathways to it, but unless one is in touch with the inner being on a cosmic level, these things are just going to be based on what you get out of a book, or it's going
to
be guesswork.
Exactly, guesswork. You know, a lot of times with card readings, it's coming from someone's own psyche rather than, you know, anything connected to a higher source. But something else I wanted to say is obviously the development of the third eye, energizing the third eye, breath toward the third eye, working on opening the third eye is very important. It's going to enhance all levels of psychic ability, whether it's clairaudience, clairvoyance, telepathy, all those things, because that's the center, right? But you don't want to develop the third eye by doing a third eye activation where someone puts a symbol, you know, in your third eye. That's not going to activate your third eye. It's not that easy.
No.
I've been hearing things like that, chakra activations. Well, chakras cannot be activated just by, you know, the sheer placement of a symbol or,
no,
you know.
No, absolutely not. You can use a focal point. I mean, if you have a target, if you're doing riflery or something, you're shooting at a target. Target is a target. The target doesn't improve your skills. It just gives you a direction to aim for. So a symbol, whether it's the symbol you're placing over a chakra system or the symbols you might perceive out of a book to help you guide you along to interpret a tarot card reading or a palmistry, we depend on these symbols, which thereby make up words, which represent research and all kinds of things like that. That might be the context of the book itself. Then you're relying it on a system of knowledge. That doesn't mean you're intuitive. That just means you're relaying information and you're either reading it out of a book or memorizing it to enhance your interpretive skills. But when we get into the idea of intuition, interpretation, and the direct communication that one may ultimately have with a higher guide, now we're talking about things that aren't in books. The book and the research and the breathing and the meditation and the practicing enhances the job of finally connecting to something that is divine and then experiencing the psychic attitude from that position.
Okay, we have another caller, Neil. So let's bring him or her on the air. Who's this, please?
Hi, Kristen. This is Jackie. How are you?
Oh, hey, Jackie. Hi.
Yeah.
You. Hi.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what I could do to move things forward. It's been kind of
okay,
crazy.
In what regard? What's going on?
With my son. He just
son, I that's what I was thinking. So what's the situation with him right now? Didn't he go away for a while to come back? Wasn't that
yes,
what happened?
Yes, and he's been sneaking around me doing things he's not supposed to be doing. And I'm trying to get him to get
sorry
back
to hear
in
that.
Trying to get him to get back in the program and get back on track. It's like every so often, it'll look like he's getting together, and the next minute, it's like a pendulum with him. He goes from one extreme to the other.
What's his birth date again, Jackie?
5/8/1998, 6
and
o'clock.
And your birthday?
1/5/1965.
65, that's what I thought. Okay. 1523. He's a 40 equals 4, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a high karmic number. And he's now 19?
Yes.
19 years old. And he's living with you, but he's not following the rules?
No. The police was looking for him the other day. The police actually came to my house, and he took off running. And now he doesn't know what to do, and I'm trying to get him to just do the right thing, Kristen, because he has so much that he could do, you know, to get himself back in order.
So is he,
has
are
the
police,
weakest
like,
willpower
actually after
with,
him?
He's
like,
his
is there a warrant or anything? Yes, you said?
I didn't hear that question.
Hold on a sec. We have a lot of noise today outside. I should have shut the windows, but... are the police actually, you said the police were chasing, are they after him?
I think
like,
so, but I want him to just go turn himself in so we could deal with it. He's afraid they're going to beat him up because he got away.
Are the police violent in your area?
Yeah, they can be.
But if you accompanied him, maybe that would protect him somewhat. What do you think, Neil?
Well, I mean, his running is not really going to solve the problem. It may delay, but the best part, you know, he's not, they're not, if he surrenders, what's his crime?
You know what? I believe that he either was buying marijuana or he was trying to sell something. He's not being honest. Because I have found drugs in my house in the past. And he doesn't realize that each time when it could get very serious, not only for him but also for me, that the angels stepped in the way. I'm convinced that the angels stepped in and stopped the situation because they know that I've been trying to help him. They know they've been answering my prayers because I've been trying to let him see and understand that this is serious.
There's a lot, Jackie, to be said for prayers and having angels come in and intervene. And, you know, if your son really, somehow your son's lost some proper guidance, is the father not around?
Yes, he's around, but he doesn't understand any of this. He thinks that if he just works and he provide a home for him, that's enough. He doesn't even understand the pressures that this kid goes through with his friends and trying to fit in.
You're still with the father or not?
Yes, he's his father.
Yeah.
Well,
my husband grew up in a very different environment.
The father may be around, Jackie, but I don't know how, quote, present he is. And
he's not present. I'm the one that has to do all of those things.
Yeah,
I'm the one that has to find the solution.
This happens
right,
a lot with mothers,
But that is, yes, it does. And right now, it seems like it's frustrating that you're trying to correct and control your son. And he's at the age where therapy is going to be, he's going to rebel against therapy. The only thing I can say to you is that I believe he's going to be apprehended. I know he's running, but the vibe coming forward seems to be that he's going to be apprehended and caught. And I don't know, you know, that just stops his actions. It doesn't correct them. And there might be something deeper going on than what meets the eye. So, the only thing that, what might happen, because we're running out of time now because the show's almost over. But I believe in the May of 2018, changes for your son. Now, the events leading up to that.
What are bad changes?
I don't think ultimately your son's going to have bad changes. I think that things are going to get better. He's got a rough period to get through, but in conversing with you, Jackie, I'm giving you this is the impression your son is going to get better. He might get worse before he gets there, but there's a journey that your son's going to go through that is ultimately going to bring him to a place of more maturity. We can't get into that right now because we don't have time.
Yeah, we're at that. We're over.
But there is content that would help to explain that.
There's what? What was the last
content thing? That would help to explain that? And since you called in at the tail end of the show, you can always.
Anything, I'll just set up a private session with you.
That would be fine, Jackie. That would be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Take care. All right. Well, we are out of time, and we're back on the air at Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.